Blog Talk Radio. Glory, 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 hallelujah, just because you are, hallelujah, thank you, Lord, what a song of worship, hallelujah, Jehovah Jireh, my provider, Jehovah Nisi, my Prince of Peace, glory, glory, hallelujah, you know, we're talking about the Lord and Savior, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, hallelujah, we lift him up because he says, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we give you all the praise and all the honor unto you. We dedicate this program unto you, Father God. And Lord, we worship you. We adore you, Father. We thank you for this opportunity that we have, Lord, on Blog Talk Radio. Upon those that are behind the scenes, we don't see them and we don't hear them, Lord God, but we know they're there. And we ask that you protect them and their family, even hallelujah. Maybe they understand. They don't understand that this work is your ordination. Hallelujah. And a lot of people will hear these programs through their archives and they'll seek the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And we're about the soul salvation. We repent of our sins. And we ask Christ to come into our hearts as our Lord and Savior. And we give ourselves over to him. The Word of God says, if you resist the devil, he will flee from you. If you give your ways unto God, the devil will flee from you. That's what the Bible says, that if you give your ways unto God, resist the devil, he will flee from you. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. This is Pastor Carlos A. Ramos Jr. of your host, The Way, the Truth, and the Life Tabernacle, here on Blog Talk Radio. And you call the studio 516-418-5944. Press number 1 to be connected to the studio. And you could call us with your comments, questions, or testimonies. Glory be to the Lord. We would encourage you to call your friends and families and relatives and your neighbors and ask them to join us here on Blog Talk Radio, 516-418-5944. Press number 1 to be connected to the studio. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Let me give you a little disclaimer, and that is that the songs that we play here on Blog Talk Radio do not belong to Pastor Ramos. They do not belong to The Way, the Truth, and the Tabernacle. They do not belong to the church. They do not belong to Blog Talk Radio. They belong to the individual artists who sing it, who produce it, and we thank them because we bought the original CDs and DVDs. In it, we have permission to use their songs. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. We spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul said, hallelujah, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it's the power of God to salvation to all those that believe, to the Jew first and also to the Greeks, all the nations, that's us. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. And in the 17th chapter of the gospel of John, Jesus talking to the Father, praying to the Father. He says, I not only pray for these, talking about the 12 apostles and the other people that follow him. He said, but I pray for them who will believe on me through their word. That's us, brothers and sisters. It's been over 2,000 years, and we know what the word of God is true because of the evidence within us. Hallelujah. Accept Christ as the Lord and Savior. When we repented of our sin, he filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of redemption. The Holy Spirit in us reminds of the words of Christ and reminds us of all nations. Christ will not come. Everybody's going to have an opportunity to turn from their wicked ways and come to the light, which is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Well, we don't want people to build a home in sand because the wind will come and blow it away. But if you build it upon a rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, hallelujah, nothing will be able to separate you from the love of Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The love of God in Christ Jesus. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Today we're starting a new topic, And the topic is the coming of Christ. The coming of Christ. The second coming of Christ. You know, by this time, we know that the rapture has taken place. We have been, that means, also, we've been caught up to the clouds. Christ rise first. The, we together with them in the clouds forever be with the Lord. He will take us to his Father's house. And there we're going to go to the Bema Seat to be judged for the good or the bad that we have done after we're saved. We're going to sit down and have the state of meal. And then we're going to come back with him to rescue Israel. That's the second coming. The first time he came in the clouds, that was him. Second coming, the second coming is he's coming to the Mount Olives. He's going to put his feet down on the ground. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to be talking in part two, the difference between the rapture and the, his return. Glory on the second coming. But we talk about the second coming. You know, Matthew chapter 24 talks about the second coming. Zechariah talks about the second coming. A lot of prophets, a lot of the psalms. Songs there, and we're going to deal with some of them, not all of them, because we might have time, but we're going to be able to share some of those verses that talk about the second thing. Let me read this to you, and I want to also give you a little itinerary before we go on. That is that every Sunday at 7 p.m. we have the Bible Mystery here on Blog Talk Radio. And we ask a question, and if you come up with the correct answer, the church will mail you a beautiful, colorful, accordion-style pamphlet of the tabernacle. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And in that pamphlet, it talks about the furnishings, the patterns of worship, the Ark of the Covenant, symbolisms that point to Jesus, the sacrifices in the tabernacle, and the garments of the high priest. Now, don't forget that the tabernacle was also known as the Tent of Meetings or the Tabernacle of the Congregation. It was a temporary tent where when the cloud by day moved, they would take it down and they would follow the cloud. Wherever the cloud stopped, they would rebuild the tabernacle tent and continue the service. Glory be to the Lord. Later on, we know that Solomon, the temple, the first temple, and then later on, the second temple during the time of Jesus, after Epiphanes had desecrated the temple, the first temple, they had to cleanse it so that they rededicated it and made a second temple. When at 70 AD, there was a rebellion there, and the Titus and the Roman government, the Roman army, destroyed the second temple. Right now, there is plans to build the third temple. Glory be to, and according to their traditions and belief, the Messiah will build that third temple. However, we know that the Messiah has already come, Yeshua HaMashiach, and the temple that he's talking about is within us. The Paul said, don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? So they're looking for a material outward temple when in reality the kingdom of God is spiritual. It's inward. Glory be to the Lord. That's why when Pontius Pilate asked Jesus, are you a king? He says, my kingdom is not of this world. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Or else my servants will fight for me. But Jesus Christ, the temple that the Lord wants is clean. It has to be clean and righteous. So Christ will come and dwell within us. The Holy Spirit will come and dwell within us. God himself will come and dwell within us. Hallelujah. And please don't fall for the deception out there. There is a people going around saying that we, mankind, could become gods, like God. No, that's a lie from the pit of hell. If you remember in Genesis, that's exactly what the serpent told Eve she could be like God. So that's a lie. We are not little gods. They're misinterpreting Psalms 86. They're misinterpreting Psalms 86, the areas where I call the sons of God, gods, Elohim. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. On Tuesday at 7 p.m., we have intercessory prayer. We have several subjects that we pray for. And you call, you participate. We'll be giving a couple of the subjects to pray for. Glory be to the. And every Thursday at 7 p.m., like tonight, we have our Bible study. And this is part one we're going to be going into. It's called the Second Coming of Christ, the Coming of Christ, part one. Then we're going to have part two and part three. Part one is going to be consisting of the Mount Olives, Jude 14 and 15, the distinction between the first and second coming. Part two is going to be the second coming in two phases, the two phases of the second coming. Phase number one is the rapture, and number two is the return. And the rapture and the return are separate events. Hallelujah. Now, part three on the second coming of Christ is reasons for recognizing a two-phase second coming. Kept from God's wrath is one. The millennium population explosion is two. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. So that's part three. And we're going to tackle that, and then we go on. In the Bible ministry on Sunday at 7 p.m., instead of asking a long question and going through different topics, we are going to deal with the names of God. The first name that we're dealing with is El Shaddai. What does it mean, and where do we see it written in the scriptures? Glory. In the English translation, we don't see it, but if you look at the Jewish translation, it's there. And in the English translation, we see the meaning in the English version, and in the Jewish, we see the name there. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. So that's our mystery. We're going to go forward and read and study a little bit about the second coming of Christ. Part one. Glory be to the Lord. The second coming of Jesus Christ to this earth is one of the most significant events mentioned in the entire Bible. The New Testament alone includes 321 references to this awesome occurrence, making it the second most prominent doctrine presented in Scripture next to salvation itself. Enoch was the first prophet to mention the second coming in Scripture, as recorded in Jude 14 and 15. We're going to look into that. The second coming is referred to in many of the Psalms by all the prophets, by all the apostles, and of course by our Lord himself on numerous occasions. The New Testament teaches it in one of every 30 verses, and in every chapter of 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, the first book written for the early church. Moreover, all nine New Testament authors mention it in 23 of their 27 books. Obviously, God intended his church to be motivated in holiness, evangelism, and missionary concern by the study of the second coming of Christ. Several key doctrines of the Bible are absolutely dependent on the second coming of Christ. For example, the resurrection of the dead cannot be fulfilled until Jesus comes again. Likewise, Christ's victory over Satan cannot be completed until he returns. Most importantly, his divine nature cannot be vindicated unless he comes to earth again, since he promised so many times that he would. He would be guilty of fraud and deceive if he failed to return, and God simply cannot lie, John 14 and 3. It's not only suddenly, it is doctrinal necessity. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. And, you know, if you ask anybody, where is Christ coming back to? Well, if you read Acts chapter 1, you are going to come across the apostles looking up at Jesus as he ascended into the heavens. Two angels, the word of God says, two men dressed in white robes, the angels, said, "You men of Galilee, why are you staring up into the heavens? The same Jesus will likewise come back the way he has left." He's going to come back to Mount Olivet. That's where he ascended from, before the Holy Spirit came and indwelled the believers. Remember, Jesus says, "He will not come unless I first return." So when I return, he says, "I will send him to you." And that's what happened in Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost was fully completed, the Holy Spirit, like a mighty rushing wind, came upon each of the disciples, and cloven tongues sat upon them, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Glory. That's Mount Olivet. So let's look a little bit of Mount Olivet. Okay. Where is Mount Olivet? Let's read the caption first of the picture. Mount of Olives is one of the most fascinating places found in Scripture. Regarded as a sacred, it is mentioned in both the Old and New Testament. Horror and hope collided on the Mount of Olives. There, Jesus prayed before his betrayal and crucifixion. However, it is also from there that Jesus triumphantly ascended into heaven, according to Luke 22:39-44. The Mount of Olives also holds the hope of his victorious second coming, Zechariah 14:4. It is a sacred biblical location that still exists today and is central to God's plan of redemption. Where is Mount Olives? The Mount of Olives is a mountain range that is made up of three located on the eastern border of the city of Jerusalem. The highest peak is 2,684 feet and offers a scenic view of all Jerusalem. The eastern side of the slope is the beginning of the Judean desert, and it separates the Temple Mount in present Jerusalem from the desert. The Mount of Olives was named for the olive grove that lined the hillside. There is olive tree over 2,000 years old on the hillside. It has also been called the Mount of Atonement. Because of the pressing of the olives, the oil that was used in the anointing of kings, it is significant and symbolic that Jesus likely knelt under the carving of olive trees and prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, located on the Mount of Olives right before his betrayal. The King of all kings, be impressed so that you and I might know his rule in our lives. Many Jewish people throughout history have requested to be buried on the Mount of Olives. The Jewish people believe that when the Messiah comes, he will come on the Mount of Olives, and therefore those buried there will have a front row seat to the Messiah. To this day, many graves line the hillside. Millions of visitors visit the Mount of Olives every year in Israel. As a visitor, you get a sense of seeing where Jesus prayed. I have been there several times, and it's just a profound experience. I count the visitor visits the Mount of Olives every year. There is a resurgence of hope. There is a God setting. They are reminded of Jesus' prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. They are mentioned that we have hope because of what Christ did. Surrounded by olive trees that continue to grow to this day, they are reminded of the price Jesus paid as our King and Messiah. Hallelujah. What happened on the Mount of Olives in the Bible? 1,000 years before Christ, King David was forced out of Jerusalem and rejected as king by his own son, Absalom. He left Jerusalem, crossed the Kidron Valley, 2 Samuel 5:15-23, and made his way up the Mount of Olives. As David climbed the mountain, he wept and mourned for himself and betrayal he experienced, but also for his own sinfulness, 2 Samuel 15:30. Years later, Mount of Olives was central to the life of Christ. Jesus taught on the Mount of Olives and often went there to pray. He, like David, was rejected in Jerusalem. After the triumphal entry, he crossed the Kidron Valley and climbed the Mount of Olives the day before his betrayal and arrest. He wept, prayed, and mourned, not over his own sinfulness, but over our sinfulness, as he considered the cross before him in Luke 22. Later, after the resurrection, Jesus ascended into heaven from the Mount of Olives, Acts chapter 1, verse 11. Five significant things to know about the Mount of Olives and the Bible. Number one, the Mount of Olives is a place of fulfilled prophecy. Number two, the Mount of Olives is a place of prayer. Number three, the Mount of Olives is a place of hope. Number four, the Mount of Olives is a place of redemption. Number five, the Mount of Olives is a place of victory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So that's a little bit of Mount of Olives. You know, as we continue to read what happened there in the mountain, we are told that Jude wrote some scriptures down, Jude 14 and 15. Enoch was the first prophet to mention the second coming in scripture as recorded in Jude 14 and 15. So let's read Jude 14 and 15, and then we'll go to Enoch. Hallelujah. Jude 14, verse 14 and 15. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesies of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints. It says saints there. So where did the saints come from? It had to be the rapture, my brothers and sisters. So whoever argues that the second coming is first, this verse right there shows that they're wrong. He's coming with 10,000 of his saints. We are the saints, the holy ones of Israel, to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all the ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their harsh speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And since the article says that in Jude, he quoted Enoch. Now, at one time, Enoch was part of the canon of scriptures. But then later on, he took it out of the canon of scriptures. And I would recommend you get a copy of Enoch. Now, there's different types of books out there. It says the Book of Enoch. I have the Defense Bible that I got from Prophecy Watchers, and in it, it has in the back, the Apocrypha books, the books that were not included in the canon of scripture. So let's read Enoch chapter 1 and see what it says. The words of the blessing of Enoch, wherewith he blessed the elect and righteous, who will live in the day of tribulation, where all the wicked and godless are to be removed. And he took up his parable and said, Enoch, a righteous man, whose eyes were opened by God, saw the vision of the Holy One in the heavens, which the angels showed me. I heard everything, and from them I understood as I saw, but not for this generation, for a more remote one, which is for a to come. Glory be to the Lord. And we have an imminent expectation of the coming of the Lord. The way things are happening in this world right now, we believe that we're in the last of the labor pains. Pretty soon there's going to be a deliverance. A first. Glory to the Lord. Like I said, took son in them. The Holy Great One will come forth from his dwelling, and the eternal God will tread upon, appear from his camp, and appear in the strength of his might from the heaven of heavens. And all shall be smitten with fear. The watchers shall quake. That's a different study, the watchers. And the great fear and trembling shall seize them unto the ends of the earth. And the high mountains shall be shaken, and the high hills shall be made low, and shall melt like wax before the flame. And the earth shall be wholly rent in sunder, and all that is upon the earth shall perish. And there shall be judgment upon all men. But with the righteous he will make peace, and will protect the elect. And mercy shall be upon them, and they shall all belong to God, and they shall be prosperous, and they shall all be blessed, and he will help them all, and light shall appear unto them, and he will make peace with them. And behold, he cometh with 10,000 of his holy ones, to execute judgment upon all, and to destroy all the ungodly, and to convict all flesh of all the works of the ungodliness which they have ungodly committed, and of all the hard things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. That's Enoch wrote down, the first chapter of Enoch. I recommend that you get it if you like it. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. So we see that Jude, who was the brother of James, who was the brother of Jesus, wrote this piece about the coming of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's look at the third venture before we go on. Let me just share again that you could call us here at Blog Talk Radio, 516-418-5944, and press number one to be connected with the studio. To my brothers and sisters out in the other side of the world, if you want to leave a comment, you could write the email to the church, WTLTabernacle@gmail.com. If you have a question, you want to talk to the pastor about it, you have a question, you call me to the show at 8 o'clock at 772-626-3178. 772-2631. Hallelujah. So let's go to our third part, which is the distinction between first and second coming. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, let's look at what happened in the first coming of Jesus Christ. First of all, we understand that there was a virgin in Bethlehem, in Nazareth, and the angel Gabriel spoke to her and said that the Holy Spirit will overshadow her. She shall have conceived a baby boy, and they shall call his name Jesus, for he shall come and save his people from sin. The same angel Gabriel spoke to Joseph in a dream when Joseph found out that she was pregnant, and at that time, they will be rough. They were engaged to get married. They were not married yet. So him being a just man, he wanted to put her away silently. But the angel Gabriel said to him, don't be afraid to marry as your wife, for the Holy that is in her is from of God. And you shall name Jesus. And that's what Joseph did. He took Mary unto himself, and they came from Nazareth to Bethlehem. And remember, he went around looking for a place for him and his wife to be, because she was about to deliver. We have stories that say that he was born in a manger, in a stable. And that's partly true, because at that time, the people had homes, and their rooms were upstairs, but down at the bottom is where the animals used to have a room for themselves. And so the innkeeper told Joseph that all they had was the place to stay, but he had all the rooms. So Joseph said he took Mary, went into the stable, and they cleaned up, because, you know, the animals, they have their time, they to expel their stuff. And so Joseph had to clean the area, and Mary cleaned the manger and made it ready for the baby. And soon, sometime afterwards, she was ready to deliver, and she brought forth her firstborn son, and she lay him in a manger wrapped in swaddling clothes. Now, swaddling clothes is a very important thing, because the clothes are taken from the garments of thrasher on and hurt themselves. And so the baby also was wrapped in swaddling clothes. And that's what the angels told the shepherds. This is a sign, you will find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes in a manger. And when the shepherds came, that's what they found. And so Joseph and Mary, and they saw the baby Jesus wrapped in swaddling clothes and in a manger. Glory be to the Lord. And then the Bible said, grew up in stature and in grace with the Lord, and he was his father's business. And we know that the Bible says every year they will go to Jerusalem and for the celebration. So he was with them, and they went into the temple to celebrate the feast days of Passover. Remember that there was three feasts that the males over 20 had to attend, which was Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. And so they went to celebrate the feast days. And so Jesus grew up. And one day, went back home to Nazareth. However, Jesus stayed back, and he was speaking with the rabbis, speaking with the lawyers, and they were amazed at his understanding. The answer that he gave, Joseph and Mary came back and found him in the temple. And, the Bible says he was subject unto them. But, when the mother said, when Mary said, we will look for you, he said, why are you looking for me? Didn't you not know that I must be at my father's business? And she kept that in her heart. She must keep that in his heart as well. They went back to Nazareth. He wrote the environment. He looked for Genardi was looking for him. So now was a required place. That's why there's a saying that anything good comes out of Nazareth. But they didn't understand that the Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, was going to come from Nazareth. The prophet Micah prophesies of the birth of the Messiah. He says, Bethlehem, if which is the smallest one for the town, from you shall come forth, governor, the leader that shall rule my people. And sure enough, that's what the prophecy was, that in Bethlehem he will be to be born. Why was he born in Bethlehem? Because Caesar at that time made a decree that everybody was going to be taxed, the censor, so you're going to go back to your town. And Joseph, being from the lineage of David, had to bring Mary with him to plan, because that's where the censor was going to be taken. And he was part of the lineage of David. If they were to follow that lineage, who would have been king of Israel at that time, then Jesus. Hallelujah. So then they went back to Nazareth after the birth, and you know, to Nazareth after his birth and after because you have to look to kill the child. Actually, he killed all the boys from 2 years and under. And but the angel was in a dream to and mother to Egypt. And just prior to that, the wise man came to visit myrrh, incense, and gold, and they went to Egypt. Those gifts that he had were practical. He could have used that on the way to Egypt and on the way to Nazareth. And Jesus grew up in Nazareth. Glory be to the Lord. His cousin John the Baptist also grew up in that area. And hallelujah. And there came a time when Jesus were invited, I guess friends or neighbors invited Jesus with the disciples to a wedding. And his mother was also there. And it seems by the scriptures that she was in charge of what was going on. And they came about where they had no more wine. And Jesus did his first miracle. He turned water into wine. And the master of the event said, you know, people save the first drink at the beginning, they save, then they give the bad drink in the end. But he told them that they save the best drink for the last. That was the wine that Christ turned the water into wine in miracle. So we know that everything that Jesus touches is perfect, is outstanding. And so that's what happened. That was the first miracle that Jesus did. And then go on, you know, and Mary had come to Jesus and told him that they had run out of wine. And Jesus said it was not his turn, why does it bother? But she turned around and said to them, do what he says. She did not point the finger at herself and took fixing the situation. You know, and that's where a lot of my Catholic brothers and sisters need to read the scriptures and understand that in the scriptures, Mary did not point to herself. She always pointed, she always directed people to Jesus Christ. And she also knew that she needed salvation. She also knew that she needed the Holy Ghost. And she participated in the things that was very important at that time. And Jesus did a lot of miracles. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees were against him because they thought that he was getting sick, but he was preaching about the kingdom of God. And, you know, he was going to shed his blood for our sins. He was going to pay the price for our sins. His kingdom was not this earth. And so they didn't understand that. And, you know, they said that he was blasphemous. They took him to the Roman soldiers, and the Roman soldiers whipped him 39 times, 40 minus 1, and with the cats, nine tails of cats, and it really stripped his body. And then they put a purple robe and a crown on him. They made fun of him. They hit him in the head to impress the crown more deeply into his skull. They brought him out, you know, and Pontius Pilate said, I find no fault with this man. What do you want me to do with him? And sure enough, they said, you know, crucify him. Give us Barabbas. And that's what happened. Barabbas was given to them, and Jesus Christ was crucified. And he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And he shed his blood. And when he died, they didn't understand how he had died early. So because they usually break the legs of the feet of those that are hanging there. But when they came to Jesus, he's already dead. So one of the soldiers took the spear and punctured his side, and out came water and blood. And Jesus Christ was buried and resurrected on the third day He showed himself to Mary Magdalene. He showed himself to the 12 disciples. Many that were dead also rose up. And there were about 500 people that saw Jesus Christ alive and his disciples and all of them. And then he ascended to the heavens. That was the first coming. You know, he paid for the price of our sins. You know, so it proves me why some people, they're against Christianity. They don't understand sin is what separates them between them and God. And God made a way in Christ Jesus for us to be reunited with him and have a personal relationship with God and have a guarantee to go to heaven. Because only in Christ Jesus could our names be written down in the book of life. If we reject Jesus, we are rejecting God's forgiveness for our life. And we will not, people who reject Jesus Christ, will not make it to heaven. They're going to go to the coming. When he comes, the Bible says in the book of Revelation chapter 19, he's going to come with 10,000 of saints. Those saints that the Bible speaks there is those of us who raptured up the dead in Christ first, then we have remained caught up together, harpazo, caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And that is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 13 through 18. And, you know, the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, chapter 5, verse 9, we, the church, was not appointed unto the wrath of God, but to obtain salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. So we receive salvation, and that's why we wrap it up. So when he comes back, he's going to come back with his saints. He's going to come back with us. And when he puts his feet on Mount Olivet, there's going to be a gigantic earthquake. That mountain will split in half, you know, half to the north, half to the south, or east or west. And then water's going to rush out and come out and heal the sea, you know, and the people that come against Israel, they're going to be in the Valley of Megiddo. They're going to come to Jerusalem to fight. But Jesus Christ, with the words of his mouth, will destroy every one of them. They're going to die, and the blood is going to be up to the bridle of the horse, and the birds of the air will come and feast on their flesh of the horse. Feast on the flesh of those that rode the horse. And Jesus will set up his millennium kingdom for 1,000 years. And he will go to Petra and he will rescue that one third of Israel that went hiding in Petra. 2/3 will be destroyed. It's going to die, which is the cross. People that want to believe. Jesus will set up his kingdom for 1,000 years. He separated the sheep from the goats at the time. And there's going to be a lot of people going to be saved during the tribulation time. There's a lot that are going to go against them. After 1,000 years reign, tribulation, Jesus was captured and put into the abyss. Lose a little while. And there's going to be another rebellion. Was going to rebel with Satan against Christ. And Christ will defeat them and send them to the lake of fire, even those that have the mark of the beast on the pits or the right hands, said they're going to be cast into the lake of fire with the Antichrist, with the false prophet, hallelujah, and the false Messiah there. Satan, the false prophet, and the Antichrist will all be cast into the lake of fire. Those who have taken the mark of the beast. And then Christ, hallelujah, that'll be after the judgment seat, that'll be after the great white throne judgment, and then Christ will turn over all back to the Father. Glory be to the Lord. So the distinction between the first coming and the second coming, the first coming, he came as a lamb, and he died for all of us. The second coming, he's coming as a king of kings, Lord of lords. He's going to come to feed the enemy and set up his own kingdom on earth. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Next Thursday, we're going to do part two, the second coming of Jesus Christ. And we're going to talk a little bit about the two phases of second coming. The first phase is the rapture. The second phase is the return. the rapture and the return are separate events. We're going to be looking at this part two very intensely, and so you could understand it's a different tribulation. Others believe that the tribulation will take place post-tribulation. But post-tribulation has a problem because if you read Matthew chapter 24, verse 29, it says, immediately following the tribulation of those days, the sign of the coming of Christ will be seen by all. He's coming in the clouds. All eyes will see him. That's under the second coming. In the first coming, the rapture, only the born again Christ hit the trumpet sound with the voice of the archangel and will meet Christ in the clouds. Here, he's coming back in the clouds and he's going to feed on all of this. And the Bible says people are going to ask him, where did you get these marks? The marks of the cross, the nail prints in his hands and his wrists, and the puncture wound in his eye, and the wounds on his head from the thorns. And when they realize, oh my goodness, this is Yeshua HaMashiach, this is truly the Son of God, they're going to mourn for him as they mourn for a child. Glory. That's in Zechariah chapter 12, 11. 13 and 14, read them so get acquainted with that. Glory be to the Lord. And what we always say, my brothers and sisters, for the Bible mystery, don't forget we talk about the name of God, El Shaddai. What does it mean? And where should we find it? And if you get, like I said, the church got a beautiful accordion style pamphlet of the tabernacle. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Until then, may the Lord bless you. Amen.